Hope everybody's having a great Friday afternoon, getting ready for football tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. All Request Friday. This selection by our next guest, Bob Marjanovic, the Moj from Vancouver, the voice of the BC Lions. It's a pleasure to have you join us in studio, Moj.
All right, although, this comes at great sacrifice.
Yeah, you're not impressed that you're here.
Well, no, this is comes at great sacrifice because about 10 minutes ago at the Hotel Sask, they have that Friday ritual where they ring the bell and give out the free whiskey. So unless you guys want to crack open Locker's private stash, I don't know where you're hiding it, Lock, but it's in here somewhere.
It's in the Green Zone Lounge.
I know where I can get some in this building, Moj. Don't worry.
There you go. So it's like, it's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. I'm in studio. Come on, Locker, clutch up for crying out loud.
Okay.
Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Hey, and I got to say, it's beautiful being in Regina. The jewel of the prairies. I actually walk from a hotel to here. It's like a nice 10-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Had I done that in Winnipeg, that same allotted time and distance, I would have been shanked like four times. So anybody that talks about Regina and Winnipeg, please don't even get me going on Winnipeg.
I'm not.
I'm on fire right now. I'm not, in studio. That's why.
I'm not a fan of the Winnipeg today after they went after me on Twitter last night.
Well, what'd they do?
Well, they were trolling.
I picked
the Elks, and it was 23-23, and the Elks had a good chance of winning that game, and then the Elks win, and they go after me.
Hey, they live in Winnipeg, all right? It's just, and when we do the games, BC sucks. I'm like, do you people not realize we get to go home on a charter? We'll be in beautiful British Columbia, Vancouver. You're going to be stuck in Winnipeg, right? So just shut up. They're trolling you.
Okay,
that's the one thing I love about Winnipeg. Oh, we have the best fans in the CFL. You've been to the Grey Cup 5 years in a row. Of course you're going to have the best fans in the CFL. It's just, let's see what happens. Here's the one thing I say about Saskatchewan, and it kind of annoys me, but at the same time, I do admire it. Wherever you go, I don't care where you go, somewhere in the States, you know, you go to Mexico, whatever, you're going to wind up bumping into a person wearing a Rider jersey at some point. I go to spring training every year. Every year I go down, I see 2-3 guys wearing the Rider jersey. Why? I don't know, but they're wearing a Rider jersey.
We're everywhere.
You could go in Dubai, go for like a half hour Locker, could go for a half hour jog in Dubai, probably bump into somebody in a Rider jersey.
I know someone from Saskatchewan who lives in Dubai, so
see, there you
probably
go.
Would be him.
Mm-hmm.
Moj, we're being honest, Moj. No, I need to get this out of we're being honest.
Yeah.
Jake Mayer is going to play. There's no game time decision next to Trevor Harris. Who the heck's your quarterback going to be tomorrow? Because we all know it's going to be Jeremiah Masoli.
Speaking of Winnipeg, right? You do know that Buck Pierce coached there, right?
Yes.
And Winnipeg is like, okay, it's kind of like the North Korea when it comes to giving out information. Like, so it's, you know, it's a game time decision. I just talked to Buck. We did our pregame interview about 45 minutes ago. Game time decision. Okay. You can say whatever you want. We all know who it's going to be, right? It's going to be Jeremiah Masoli. But yeah, it's an interesting situation because clearly you're looking at a tough game here in Regina, a game on the road against the Alouettes next week, right? I mean, you want to give yourself the best chance to win. Their best chance to win is having Nathan Rourke at quarterback. But you also have to look at the big picture. And I think when you look at this team this year, fellas, it's almost a reversal of what we've seen from the Lions in the past. Lions always start off great. Mm-hmm. Oh, everything's rosy. And they'd kind of hide a lot of those warts, a lot of those flaws. They get exposed, and then they'd expose as the season progressed. True, I really believe this year's going to be different. I think this year, this team is going to get stronger as the season progresses, as they, you know, learn Buck's system and player, and the coaching staff learns what they can and can't do with certain players. So I think this team will get stronger as the season progresses. But yeah, it's a tough situation. And I did a piece for Black Press back in BC, and it was on the Lions website as well. Stan Conte was the former trainer for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He did a study on oblique injuries, I should say, and the average for players returning, I think hitters was 30 days and pitchers was like 35. This Saturday will be 16 days for Nathan Rourke. So even if it's a mild strain, and that I believe it is because he has been throwing a practice, a lot of underneath stuff, a lot of check down stuff, but it could be another week or two.
What do you like about Nathan so far from what you've seen?
He's back to being the old Nathan, and what I mean by that is when he came back last year, it was a difficult situation because it was Vernon Adams' team.
Yeah.
And there was no animosity between the two, but it was still awkward, right? I mean, you saw that hype video where, you know, VA was hyping the team last year before the playoff game, and Nathan's just kind of standing there.
Yeah, right? And Nathan was starting.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it was just an awkward situation. But this year, he came to camp, and I saw it when they had the media conference before we went up to Kamloops, and he was just, you could tell he was rejuvenated. He was having fun again, right?
It's his team now?
Yeah, it's his team. And, you know, the other thing, too, is Nathan touched on this. And the last couple of years in the NFL, it's been like, you know, he's been so worried about making a mistake and, you know, am I going to lose some reps or am I moving down the depth chart? He's just back to playing football and having fun again. If something happens, it happens. And now he doesn't have to worry about the ramifications mm-hmm. of not making a throw or not making the right read.
So, Moj, of course, last time you were kind of in the studio was when we were doing the radio row at Grey Cup in Vancouver.
Locker not allowed to travel to the Grey Cup. The ban was still on in the province of BC. Just to let you know, I've been talking to my people. They're working on it. So there you go.
They keep me here. Yeah. There's reasons, border issues, that kind of stuff, but we'll get there.
But we saw the investment.
I just looking down at the ankle, looking at the bracelet, wondering what that's about, but that's another story.
Is it flashing red? Because he needs to change the battery if you see a red flash. But we saw the investment Amar Doman put in with all the kids coming. And are we seeing that spinoff go into people coming? We saw the big
There's bumps
pop
and seats there
for Snoop Dogg. We saw 20,000 for game two. Are you starting to see that investment pay off?
Yes and no. And I say that because I believe that Amar's doing all the right things. And the fans in Vancouver love Amar Doman. I mean, you go on X and people are saying, why don't you buy the Canucks, right? I mean, and we all know how the relationship between the fans and the Vancouver Canucks ownership group. But they love what Amar Doman does. They love how invested he is. But at the same time, you can't turn the Queen Mary on a dime, right? I mean, you've lost a generation of fans. And that's one of the things now that Amar's doing. You were there last year at the Grey Cup. Remember all those little kids running around every day?
Yeah, like, everybody got a shirt.
Yeah, like they bust in, like, I don't know how many kids, and like all these kids under 10, and they had got to enjoy the convention, the festival there. They had the fan festival or whatever, and that's what they're working on. They're working on that young generation because, and here's the thing, too, and I know there's been a lot of talk about this the last week or so with our old buddy Luke Wilson. I just bumped into Ryan at the
Johnson, oh, we need your thoughts on Luke on the tweet.
But it's just like, you know, the thing is, they've lost a generation of fans. They got to get back. And what are those young kids doing? They're playing Madden. They're fantasy football. And guess what? They're watching Red Zone, right? I mean, they're immersed into the National Football League. So at least let's start. I went off on this as well the other day. The fact is, for the life of me, I don't know why why the CFL doesn't go to EA Sports and say, hey, you know what? Let's see if we can incorporate the CFL game as an add-on to Madden or something like that. And it's not like EA Sports has an office in Burnaby or anything. Oh, wait, they do. Right? So it's just like, that's one of the things.
They got their start there.
But like, yeah, but that's just like just let's start. Let's see what we can do. Like,
I literally said that on the show 2 days ago.
Did you?
Because Britton was like, we need the video game. I said, no, you need an add-on.
Yes.
Hey, here's an extra $20 to download the CFL rosters and logos and all that stuff. Boom.
And get to the point where these kids are interested in the game. They're interested in the players. And, you know, get engaged again. And that's one thing that Amar's doing. He's getting fans engaged in BC, but like I said, it's going to take some time.
So is Luke Wilson, right, Locker?
Well, and the Luke Wilson tweet has generated an entire week of conversation here on the Green Zone. What was your first blush, Moj, when you saw it?
I was like, Luke, you got to be kidding me. Hot garbage. I wouldn't have gone that far. The thing is, I think you can improve the game in certain things. I think probably to me, the big thing is just improving the perception of the CFL. I think it's a great league, and there's a lot of great players, but there's so many kids out there that, you know, give her the old, oh, Alabama could beat the Grey Cup chance. No, they couldn't. I talked to Courtney Taylor one time, who played at Auburn, and he played in the NFL with the Seahawks for a bunch of years, and then he came up and finished at BC, and we were talking. It was Lule, Courtney Taylor, and myself. So what do you think? He goes 35-7. They might get 7 if they were lucky, right? And they, you know, just that, but it's that perception that they're battling with the younger fans, right? That's what you got to change. And you've got to somehow, some way promote this as the second best football in the world, right? And that's the crazy thing that drives me nuts is because you look at MLS, and let's get real here. It's probably like the 15th best league in the planet.
Yeah.
But the perception is, oh, it's Major League Soccer. Wouldn't go that far. But they don't have this huge giant south of the border that they got to compete with.
Like, sure, there's some points Luke made. Fine. Penalties, too many penalties. Great.
Oh, yeah, penalties are bad that. In that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was it a... It was a great finish, entertaining finish, but it wasn't a great football game, sure. But that's where what you just said is the perception. Yeah. Luke's not helping the perception of the CFL to sell the game. It's certainly like he's trying to come across as some savior of the CFL. Well, being a savior of the CFL isn't going to be through completely taking a dump on the league and a game that finished with a last-second kick return touchdown in a 39-32 game where 71 points are scored.
And what I said today earlier, Jamie, that bothered me about it was that he is, you know, the numpty thing, and he's disregarding anybody that's had any involvement in the game for any length of time based on the fact that you're blind to the weaknesses of it. And I was like, no. People in the CFL talk about the deficiencies of the game all the time, and their opinion matters.
He should come to an FRC suite with all us old-time numpties.
Like, he's sitting there, and he's like, you know, I saw the little exchange that him and John Ryan had, and I think it was all in good fun for the most part, because obviously they're former teammates, and I know that both guys are good guys, and they get along with each other. But it was interesting because, John, talking about the CFL from your home in L.A., and I'm driving to a junior football practice 2.5 hours. I'm like, dude, you know that he actually spent like a few years in the league actually playing. It's not like he's just been in L.A. his entire life. He's had a little bit more involvement, a little bit better read, given his background playing in the league, both before his NFL career and after his NFL career. So I kind of chuckled at that. But I think, again, I think they're just having fun.
He's also married to a pretty successful comedian whose career is in Los Angeles, so we'll forgive John for living there.
How much time do we have?
John's actually a pretty funny guy.
Do we have enough time to get Moach to weigh in on Kane?
I don't want to talk about Evander Kane. You're just going to tick me off, and it's a Friday, and I want to have a good weekend.
Well, what happens if he hits his stash, do a couple of shots, and then you can talk about Evander Kane? I'll talk to your boss. Don't worry. It's all good. You won't get fired.
Okay, Evander Kane, go. Do you like this move? Because I absolutely hate it. I hate it.
Brian Burke. Okay, first off, in talking to people within the organization that have since departed, you do the math. One of the issues that the Canucks had was the room. They just need a stronger room. They need stronger leaders. And that dynamic last year got hit when Cole, Zadorov, other players, but mainly Cole and Zadorov. Those were the two guys that kind of held certain players in check. I don't know, like JT Miller maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when those players left, you didn't have that check and balance. So that's why you saw that thing kind of spin out of control, because they didn't have a strong enough leadership group without those players. And talking to people, they said, you're going to be surprised by who the Canucks bring in this year. People are like, why? And they're going to say, because they just need stronger leadership. Now, getting to Kane, right? People talk about Kane being a bad apple, Kane being this, that. Played my golf tournament for like 3-4 years. We had it up at Whistler before we moved it to Kelowna, and never really had any issues with him. He was fine. I heard Bob Stauffer on with Donnie and Dolly and the older color analyst, and he said he was great in Edmonton. He got along with everybody. He did work in the Indigenous community. He's older. He's wiser. Hopefully he's more mature. Now, getting back to that situation that I talked about, people are saying, well, yeah, of course he was an okay citizen in Edmonton. He's got McDavid and Drysdale, you know, staring him down. Who's going to be that person in Vancouver? As Brian Burke used to say, we don't play a game until October, whatever, 15th, right? So let's see what the Canucks do in terms of their leadership group, in terms of their room between now and then, before, you know, you kind of pass judgment and say Kane's going to be a bad apple with this.
Oh, so there's more to come? Is this you saying more to come on the Vancouver Canucks?
I think there has to be. And again, I don't think you might look at it and you might go, why was this guy signed? But they definitely need to improve the group. And it's not like they had bad people, but you just need certain types of people, right? And it's like, it's interesting because one guy that I knew, his team did a seminar. And one of the analogies they used was Saving Private Ryan. And this is a great analogy because, you know, you got your guy who's Tom Hanks, who's kind of like the calm guy and just all that. And then you got your guy who's like Sizemore, who's in everybody's face. And then you have like your comedians and stuff. So
it'll be an interesting dynamic. Meanwhile, the draft has started. Big surprise. Huge. Matthew Schaefer, first overall to the New York Islanders. And now we go to the San Jose Sharks. Will it be Michael Misa? Who will it be? We're about to find out. We'll tell you. Moj, Thanks for joining us.
Just
in
one
studio.
Segment. I come all this way for a measly 12 minutes.
I'll be honest. We blew through two segments, so don't tell my boss.
Hey, you know what? The other thing too is I'm getting thirsty. I need a smoked old fashioned.
So
we'll
do I.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. All right, thanks, fellas. At halftime, right?
Yep.
All right on. There's the Moj, the voice of the BC Lions, right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, let's get you caught up in the NHL draft that's going on right now. First overall pick, Matthew Schaefer, defenseman, goes to the New York Islanders. The second overall pick has just been selected. It is Michael Mesa as he goes to the San Jose Sharks, second overall tonight. So there's that pick. Now the Chicago Blackhawks are on the clock. And then, of course, the Utah Mammoth will make the fourth overall selection. Jake Mayer in at quarterback tomorrow for the Rough Riders as Trevor Harris moved to the one-game injured list. Coming up next, more on what's to come on the NHL draft. We had a chat about a couple of Sasky boys with Craig Button on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All Request Friday, that's Michael in Saskatoon, a little Brian Adams. Getting ready for Canada Day long weekend. Rider game tomorrow, of course, Jake Mayer getting the start for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yeah, excited. Yeah, as a backup quarterback on any team, you never know when your number is going to be called. So, you know, I guess for the team, it's obviously bittersweet. Obviously, because you want to be, you know, make sure that everybody's ready to go and healthy and ready to play. But, you know, given the circumstances of the week and kind of how it's all played out, I'm ready to step in and do what I can for the team.
5 o'clock tomorrow against the BC Lions. 3 o'clock is the Green Zone pregame show. NHL draft going on right now. The Chicago Blackhawks just took Anton Frondell third. Michael Mesa went second to the San Jose Sharks, and of course, the defenseman Matthew Schaefer, first overall to the New York Islanders. We had a preview with Craig Button on pretty well. Now the conversation will flip to some of the other details I will lay out tonight. But first off, when you're watching tonight, when you get home, you're going to turn it on, you're going to see the draft, and wait, they're in a theater. Where are all the team tables on the floor at a hockey rink? Yeah, they're not doing that this year. They're doing a decentralized draft like the National Football League. And as Craig points out, it was maybe a good idea at the time, but NHL executives hate it.
I think you're right that they aren't fond of it. In fact, they aren't. And I think that given an opportunity to unring the bell, the managers would love to have said no to this idea. It doesn't work for a number of reasons. The NHL has a unique setup when it comes to the draft on an arena floor with everybody in attendance, but it's also a really efficient way to do business at an important time of the year. You know, it's not just what you're doing at the draft, it's trades, it's contract discussions, it's understanding what your opportunities are for free agency. I mean, there's a free agency in terms of locking in begins on 12 noon on July 1st, but there's a lot of work that happens ahead of that time. And now everybody being in their individual cities, it becomes a lot harder to affect that type of business. And the agents have significantly called out the managers for saying, like, you haven't helped yourselves in this regard. You've made things harder. And the uniqueness of the NHL draft, as I pointed out, is really something that's important. So I'm hopeful that this is the first and last forever decentralized draft, save for what we have to do in 2020 with a pandemic. That was a necessary decentralized draft. This one was not necessary, and I hope it's the end.
Craig, not that we want to dwell on this too much further here, but what was it a money thing? What was the reason behind it?
Well, I think there was a couple of things. And sometimes you go down a path and you don't see the forest from the trees. And, you know, from what my understanding is, 31 of the 32 teams voted in favor of the decentralized draft, which means there was one opposing, which means that, you know, through the course of discussions, people thought it was a good idea. Well, you know, just because everybody wants to jump in the river doesn't mean it's a good idea. And I think that that's what happened here. And I think that cost was one, but now you're flying everybody into your city. So cost isn't minimized. Opportunity to do significant business is lost. And when I talk about everybody together to understand with the agents, I mean, you're making trades now to free up cap space. You're not freeing up cap space and you don't have a reasonable chance to get a free agent. So all this information and intel, just to name a few things, are critically important for the process and for the business of the NHL. And again, I just think that it was one of those things where a groundswell happened, and before you knew it, it was in effect. And I think last year after the Sphere draft in Las Vegas, I think it was right at that moment in time that a lot of GMs, a lot of teams, whoa, what were we thinking here? And I don't think it's any less of an issue. And like I said, the agents really put the GMs on notice. They're like, what are you doing here? Like, we do significant business at the draft altogether.
So, Craig, is this a deep draft? Because it sounds, you get conflicting sort of reports about this year's crop of kids coming in, because there isn't that one big star outside of Matthew.
Well, last year, you'd say the only star last year was Macklin Celebrini. And the year before, you'd say the only star was Connor Bedard. I think too much of the time, the draft gets defined by the top guy in the draft. And rarely do we have more than one. And I mean, that's just the nature of it. A couple things I'm going to say is that, you know, because it gets defined like that, a team picking eight, a lot of times, oh, they'll tell you that the draft falls off at six. The team picking 12 tells you the draft falls off at nine. The team picking 16 tells you the draft falls off at 12. Like, you know, here's what I'll tell you with the straight numbers. Here's the facts. The numbers, and I'd love to tell you exactly, there'll be approximately 45 players from this draft that will play 350 games or more in the NHL with varying degrees of success. 350 games is significant. There will be approximately 45. There will be at least eight players drafted in the first round that will not have an NHL career of any significance. I'd like to tell you who they are. I'd like to tell you who the 45 approximately will be. That's part of the whole process. Mm. Every team picking in the first round and the second round feels that they got a player that's going to help their team. The numbers tell you that that's not going to be the case, and that's historically. And that is a fact. And we look at it overall. Do I think there's good players in this draft in the second half of the first round? Yeah. Do I think there's good players in the second round? Yeah. The Hockey Hall of Fame inducted Joe Thornton first overall, Duncan Keith drafted in the second round, and Zdeno Chara drafted in the third round. You'll find good players all the way through the draft that can impact your franchise.
Out of the top 10, there's probably only a handful of guys that'll play right away. Would Matthew Schaefer play right away?
I don't think he's ready.
Yeah.
He only played 17 games this year. Now, I'm like, and Matthew, I was talking to Matthew the other day, and he said his first 3 months in the Ontario Hockey League, he said he was terrible. He said he was just awful. He said he was the first overall pick in the OHL draft. He only turns 18 in September. He only played 17 games this year. I think another year of just building himself up, maturing, and then being able to really take a run at it in the following season is what's best for him. When I define ready to play in the NHL, I do it in this regard. It's not about being the best you can be at 18. It's about, can you find a way to contribute to a team in some way, shape, or form at a younger age? The regular season and the importance of the regular season and the importance of every game begins at game one for every team. Coaches aren't here to develop players at the NHL level, and the NHL is not for development. I don't think there's any player ready, by my definition, for the NHL. That doesn't mean there might not be a player or two that surprises you or ends up starting the year there, but I don't see any player ready to come into the NHL and contribute in some way.
Okay, we got to talk about our Saskies here. There could be a couple of first-rounders selected. Starting off, Saskatoon's Roger McQueen. You have him I saw the show. The biggest wild card in the first round for the big man with some back issues in Roger McQueen, and also Cole Reschny, maybe in the top 20. What do you like about these two Sasky boys?
So when I say Roger McQueen wild card, I think he's a top five player all day long. 6 foot five and a half centerman with his skill and the way he plays, I got all the time in the world for him. And I think if he had played the full season, he might very well be in the conversation for first overall. He's that good. He's that talented. Now, the back injury, and I don't do the in-depth work on the medical reports, but everything I've heard is he'll be just fine. But teams, when they're looking to build confidence in who they want to select, it's not so much about getting an affirmative check mark on the medical report. It's about in their own minds, how much have we seen him, how comfortable we are with him, how good can he be. And when you have limited viewings, it affects your confidence level. I think it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Roger McQueen went in the top five. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if he went outside the top 10. But I think that in a couple of years' time, we're going to be talking about, wow, did they ever get, if he does go outside the top 10, boy, what a good fortune for them. I see him a lot like another Saskatchewan boy, Ryan Getzlaf. I think that Roger has a lot of those same types of qualities, a clear-cut number one center. And again, I think that he's a really, really top-notch player. When it comes to Cole Reschny, I'm watching a player that can play the game any way you want. He's smart. He's good defensively. He's good offensively. What he did as a 16-year-old with Victoria, what he did this year as a 17-year-old, and more importantly, watching him play against the Spokane Chiefs in the playoffs, going up against another Saskatchewan kid, Berkeley Catton, Cole Reschny was outstanding. And when you're watching that type of quality of performance when you're evaluating a player and you're seeing him have that much success against a certain NHL player in Berkeley Catton, that gives you confidence that Cole Reschny is going to be a player that's going to be very successful at the NHL level. And I have no doubt that Cole Reschny can be that. The player that I've compared him to in terms of type is Anthony Cirelli with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And these players just don't come along very often. And I think that Cole is, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes in the first half of the first round. I know I did a mock draft with him going to Calgary. Calgary might not get a crack at him.
All right. So far, we're through four picks of the NHL draft. Roger McQueen has not yet been drafted. As Craig said, could see him jump into the top five. We're at the fifth selection coming up right now. Utah just made their pick. Tony Finau completely butchered Moncton. What is Montoon?
Something. Now I'm going to have trouble saying it now.
So we'll keep you up to date on the NHL draft here on the Green Zone.
What was Champs, that call that he was? I don't know if I've
evidently
ever heard
Utah that. Has like a. They must do it in the rink or something.
Okay, all right.
I don't know what he's calling.
I haven't heard that before, but that was interesting as well. This is weird. This whole thing is
this
weird.
Is terribly produced already.
Yeah,
they have the kids get drafted, then they go off the stage and they have a room where the GMs are on Zoom because it's a decentralized draft, so they're not actually there, and they do like a 5-minute little chat with the player that is absolutely boring as sin. And then they start breaking down the player. It's like, no, right when he's picked, boom, this is who just got drafted. Here are his highlights. This is what he does well. This is where he fits within the Utah Mammoth. And then do the draft call and edit it and play it later.
Then do that.
You are doing live television.
Do that thing.
And then teach Tony Finau how to say Moncton. Coming up next, Champs and Chumps on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on, you're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Okay, I'm changing the chump. The chump goes to the National Hockey League production team of this NHL draft production show. This is awful. This is awful. They just drafted a kid. And he's at his farm with his whole family, and they just got a still shot. There's no video or anything.
This decentralized draft was a horrible idea.
And they, like, usually in the NFL, they have a live camera right there in his living room as they jump up. But no.
Well,
and
everyone knows how I feel about Bettman, but he, like,
this
what
isn't
doing?
Bettman. This is the NHL
but
production.
Why
group.
Is he on stage that much? Stop. Like, what? Whose idea? Come out, say the name.
Trump is the NHL draft.
Oh, so bad. It is so bad.
But I do want to leave off the week with a final word on a local Regina sports broadcasting amateur coach legend. The community lost Pete Pasco yesterday after a brave battle with cancer. You've probably heard the features on our station. Pete was the most vocal advocate of amateur sport in Regina you would have ever met. He hosted Locker Talk on Local Access. Again, he coached, he volunteered, he did everything he could to promote athletes of all ages, of all sports, and Regina sports community is less today without Pete Pasco. Condolences to all his dear friends and family. As for who got selected at the NHL draft, Matthew Schaefer, first overall. Micah Mesa went to the San Jose Sharks. Still waiting to see the Saskatchewan Roger McQueen, where he goes. Cole Reschne as well from Macklin. All expected to go in the first round, but we shall see. Meanwhile, tomorrow, Jake Mayer gets the start for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Our Green Zone pregame show begins at 3 o'clock tomorrow, ahead of that 5 o'clock kickoff. I will talk to you then. Locker, you're running the show next week.
Have a good time off, Jim.
I'll try. And Charles Barkley's making the Philadelphia pick. Interesting. Is he going to pick Zach Hyman or someone like that accidentally?
He might.
One of the Edmonton Oilers. Anyways, have a good weekend and a good Canada Day. But we'll be here tomorrow, 3 o'clock, with the Green Zone pregame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.